What is up, cybersecurity and cryptocurrency fans? This is the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. Today is Friday, October the 12th, 2018. Winter is officially here, and it's been really, really nice, especially living in Texas. It's extremely and ridiculously hot most of the time, so when winter finally gets here, it makes it very, very nice. This is going to be a great weekend for anybody in Texas, and people up north I know are already getting snow, so I feel for them too. But on to bigger and better things. We're going to talk today a little bit about some updates with the Facebook breach that happened. I'm also going to touch on a little bit of what Ripple's doing and some trends in the market recently. And then an update on how to create your own cryptocurrency. So we'll kick it off with the Facebook thing. And as everybody's aware, Facebook was breached. They're now saying that the vulnerability existed from July of 2017 all the way to this year. I believe it was September of this year, 2018. So more than a year that this vulnerability existed and was being actively exploited. So Facebook's initial number of how many people that were affected was 50 million. And they came out today and gave some more detail and they say, oh, you know what? It was only 30 million. All right, only 30, huh? Wow, that's a huge difference there, Facebook. 30 million people is still a crap ton of people, I'm sorry. But, so they're saying only 30 million people's tokens were stolen, and they go into more detail about how it all happened, so on and so forth. I just think it's sad, number one, that this happened at all, but the worst part of it is that, you know, Facebook thinks coming out and telling everybody that it was 20 million less is somehow better, but I mean, yes, it is better, but 30 million is still a ton of people. And I'm not sure that they're completely done with their investigation. I think it's still kind of ongoing, so they may come back and revise that number again. We're just not sure, but they did provide a whole lot of visibility, and they were very transparent about what happened, how it happened, why it happened, what the hackers did exactly. So highly recommend checking that out. It's actually on Facebook's website. It's newsroom.fb.com if you want to go check it out for yourself. But they do go into quite a bit of detail about it, which is really nice because everybody really wanted to know what the heck happened and how much was really affected. So that's certainly good news that it was only 30 million rather than the 50 million that was originally reported. But one way or another, that's still a ton of people. I just hope that everybody knows to reset their passwords and all that good stuff and set up two-factor and all that. But it's just scary to see that a huge company like that could get hacked so bad. There was another article from Yahoo, of all places, Yahoo Finance, which is kind of a weird place to find this article. But they were saying that about 14 million people that the hackers accessed information from, they were able to get information such as the last 10 places that person checked into, their current city, their 15 most recent searches. So that's some pretty, you know, sensitive information. And so they're saying 14 million of that 30 million, the hackers accessed that additional sensitive information. They're also saying that of that 30 million, 400,000 people served as the hacker's entry point into the other 30 million accounts. So attackers are basically using those 400,000 accounts to look at their own profiles and timelines and whatnot, and names of recent Facebook Messenger conversations and whatnot. But man, that's scary that they had access to 400,000 accounts. They could see all of their messages and what's on their timelines and all that stuff. I mean, talk about crazy. And talk about scary, too. That's definitely scary stuff. So anybody's messages could have been read if you're part of this 400,000. So very scary for sure. I guess it's good that Facebook is coming out and telling everybody about this, but man, it's really scary. But Facebook does have a way to check and see if your account was affected. It's on facebook.com/help/security notice, and I'll post a link to it in the show notes so everybody's got it if you want to go check and see if your account was affected. I'm curious to know how many people are actually going to delete their accounts after all these breaches, or if people just, you know, shrug it off and say, yeah, it's just another breach. It happens. That'll be interesting to see. I don't keep track of statistics on Facebook and how many active users they have and how many have been deleted, but or deleted their own profiles. But it certainly makes you question and wonder whether or not the general public even cares about these breaches, or if they're just like, yeah, whatever, it's fine. Facebook has also been in the news for these duplicate accounts. Hackers are basically creating these fake profiles that look just like your actual profile, your official profile, and trying to scam your friends. So they'll try to add your friends to this fake profile, and then from there proceed to phish them or send them malware and whatnot. So be on the lookout for those fake accounts and duplicate accounts. They are using pictures from your account and creating a separate one, and then adding the same friends that you've got and trying to scam all of them as well. So be on the lookout for that. Everybody on Facebook has been posting all about it, and I'm sure you've seen that all over the Facebook posts as well. But it's certainly just another tactic these guys are using to scam people. So be very cautious about that one too. Been pretty heavily used here recently in the last few weeks. As far as cybersecurity news, that's really all I had for today. Not a whole lot else going on that's too crazy or worth mentioning here. But if we move over to the cryptocurrency side, the Winklevoss twins, they founded their own exchange, and it's called Gemini. So if you haven't heard of that, it's called Gemini. And essentially, the Winklevoss twins are well known for their involvement in Bitcoin, and that's how they got rich, essentially. So they did create their own exchange called Gemini, and apparently they're going to start listing Litecoin here in the next week. So that's pretty cool. So check them out. It'll be interesting to see what coins they start listing as they grow their platform there. Other news, Coinbase also added the 0x protocol, which means that you can now get tokens on Coinbase. So they have the capability now to do the tokens on Coinbase, but thus far I have not seen any tokens officially listed outside of their trading platform. Now, Coinbase has their own trading platform as well, so it could be that they're listing it there first, and then they'll eventually incorporate it into their commercial wallet that everybody uses. So we'll see how that progresses, but that's pretty cool. So ERC20 tokens are coming to the Coinbase wallet in the next couple months, probably, I would guess. So that's pretty cool news. Some other stuff here about Ripple. I thought this was kind of neat. RippleNet is Ripple's product that they're using with financial institutions to help them send money back and forth to various other locations around the world. And RippleNet is essentially, they're letting financial institutions pre-fund all the liquidity that they need with either, you know, US dollars, euros, whatever their fiat currency is, or they can fund it with XRP, which is Ripple token or Ripple coin. So that's pretty cool that you can do both. Obviously, you have to get the Ripple from somewhere, so you may as well just use fiat currency, but pretty cool stuff. And there's so many of these financial institutions that are using this now, so becoming way more prevalent. And it'd be really cool to see how far Ripple takes this and how many other financial institutions adopt this platform. So we will see in the coming months and years how well Ripple starts doing. But I have a feeling they're going to be doing pretty good. I do think they will. Some other news here about the CFTC, too many acronyms to remember here. But one of the chairmen on that basically said that cryptocurrency will mature as more institutional investors become involved. And that's very true. As soon as the SEC starts allowing Bitcoin to be traded as a stock, that's going to allow for a lot more institutional investors. And that's when you'll really start seeing the price of Bitcoin start to level out and stay a lot more static than the current volatility that we're seeing with Bitcoin going up and down. Yesterday, Bitcoin took a pretty big hit, and I haven't seen much on why people think it took this big hit, but we were down in the $6,100 range yesterday. Today, we're back up to $6,212 for Bitcoin. Bitcoin Cash is at $441. Ethereum is way down to $194. That hurts. That really, really hurts Ethereum. Ethereum Classic's at $9.40, and Litecoin is at $52.58. Really sad to see Ethereum take such a dip too, but they trend right along with Bitcoin in most cases. Bitcoin's the big daddy. Overall, the market just took a big dump, essentially. So hopefully it'll get a little bit better in the next coming weeks. We were on a pretty good run there. We were up to $6,700, $6,800 range for Bitcoin, and then all of a sudden yesterday, it took a pretty big hit. So I don't really know what caused the most recent hit like that, but I'm sure somebody's got an answer somewhere. I don't know if anybody else saw this, but I thought it was funny more than anything as it relates to cybersecurity. If you haven't seen it, it's really funny. There's a video of Kanye West visiting President Trump. And in the video, it shows him unlocking his phone. And he uses all zeros to unlock his phone. So I think it's either 4 or 6 zeros to unlock his phone. So there's all kinds of memes on the security forums and whatnot. So I thought that was a really funny story. A bunch of the password management companies that I follow were like, hey, Kanye, if you need a password manager, we can help you with that. We can help you make secure passwords. I think Dashlane was tweeting that at him. That was pretty funny stuff. Good old Kanye. Need to get a little better password there, buddy. So some other cryptocurrency stuff. I've been tinkering around with creating my own cryptocurrency. It's been a lot of fun. It's been extremely difficult, certainly not for the faint of heart. And there's all kinds of tutorials and whatnot online that show you how to do this stuff. And yeah, you can follow those tutorials and, you know, it might help you a little bit. But there's so much more that needs to go on outside of those tutorials. So if you're going to start your own cryptocurrency or you're thinking about it, it's not as easy as those articles make it seem. I'm finding that out the hard way. You need to know a little bit about C and C++ programming, which I'm learning on the fly. But previous to this, I was really not a programmer. Not very good at that kind of stuff, but it's been a whole lot of fun. I'm learning some Java in there. I'm learning some CSS and all kinds of other fun stuff like that. And I do have a working cryptocurrency at the moment, but I really have no idea what I'm going to use it for yet. And really, this is just for fun more than anything and testing and seeing if I can do it. And if I can do it effectively and learn how to do it right, then I'll start looking at different things that hopefully that I can use it for and maybe create some sort of a platform on top of Bitcoin, create a token on top of Bitcoin potentially. So anyway, there's all different ways that you can fork the code from Bitcoin. Bitcoin actually releases their code base every so often with all the updates and whatnot. Especially after that big denial of service vulnerability that was floating around a couple months ago, they released an update to fix that. But a lot of the altcoins that you see on the markets are using that Bitcoin core as their code base, and then they just kind of add on top of that. I've seen a lot of people in these articles, they're cloning Litecoin. I've also seen them cloning several others, but Litecoin seems to be the one that is cloned the most. And the tricks there are that, you know, as of today, Litecoin is extremely difficult to mine for. You have to have some ASIC miners and quite a few of them to make any sort of decent profit on it. So if you're going to fork Litecoin, for example, and you don't have some ASIC mining equipment, you won't be able to generate your very first block to start your fork of their chain, their blockchain. So a lot of things to consider when you're going to create your own or fork somebody else's code. Now, you can go into the code and change the parameters of the blockchain itself, and you can lower the difficulty level, lower the total number of blocks or total number of coins and all kinds of other stuff that you can change as part of that code base. But, you know, it all just depends on what you want to do. The other trick, too, is if you want to do proof of stake instead of proof of work, which proof of work means that you have to mine for the coin. If you want to set it up as proof of stake, you have to fork whatever coin that is proof of stake that you like the best. Dash coin seems to be the best proof of stake, at least from what I've seen tinkering around with all this stuff. Most people fork Dash first, and then they build on top of that. So that's exactly what I did. I forked Pivx, P-I-V-X. I forked theirs because it seemed to have a few more updates that I liked in their code and whatnot. So I did fork that one, and I've added stuff to it and changed some of the parameters and whatnot. And it's been a really cool process, fun experience, and just really enjoying learning about all this stuff even more. I had a pretty good understanding of cryptocurrency prior to doing this, and now as I'm actually writing the code for this, I'm learning so much more and just really getting a much better understanding of exactly how all of it works. So it's really cool, really fun stuff. But if you've got some free time at all, I do highly recommend, you know, if you're interested at least, checking out creating your own blockchain, creating your own cryptocurrency. It's a lot of fun, especially when you get it up and running. And it's quite the achievement. And anyway, it's just a lot of fun. So, and you can learn a whole lot too that you may not have known before. So anyway, there's another project on GitHub. It's called Clone Coin, I believe it is. And that's also a very good one to, you know, start off with if you're not very confident with, you know, using Litecoin as the code base. And I don't blame you if you want to start off with one. Clone Coin is a really good one. Another good one to start off with is NXT Coin or Next Coin. That's also a very good one to start off with. They've got a very easy tutorial on how to clone their code. It's all written in JavaScript, and that's the biggest difference between Next Coin and all the other altcoins out there. Next Coin is primarily using JavaScript, and the others use C or C++ primarily. So some little differences there, little subtle differences there, but it's been a lot of fun. And if you have any sort of interest in cryptocurrency and blockchain in general, highly recommend starting your own, seeing how it all works. The one I'm creating is proof of stake, so that way I don't have to do the mining part of it, but it's been a lot of fun. A whole lot of fun. I've learned so much about it too. So go check that stuff out if you're interested in that kind of thing. But anyway, that's all I really had for today. This week was a little quieter than typical, but kind of getting back into the swing of things after taking the week off there. So I do plan on doing a few more episodes next week than I have this week. I've only done two this week, so I'll try to bump it up to three or four next week. As long as there's newsworthy stuff to talk about, then I'll keep talking about it on here. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at eEnglish34 on Twitter, at eEnglish34. Hit me up on there, follow me. I retweet a bunch of the articles that we talk about on this show. All right, everybody, have a great weekend, and we'll talk again next week.